And so we have been blessed ever since we've been here. I mean, preacher has done such a great job of showing me around. I've seen everything. And just, you have such a wonderful church. Amen. It's a beautiful building. It's a beautiful ministry. And you folks do it up in class. I got to my prophet's chamber, which is right there. I can't believe it was right there, but it was right there. And I walk in, and there's snacks everywhere. I said, which one should I try? I ought to try something so everybody knows I tried something. Well, let me have the caramel and the chocolate first. So I had that. That was good. I really enjoyed it. Big bottle of water. That was good. I said, well, I'll try one more thing. I had those M&M peanut butter because I love peanut butter. And, oh, man, that was really good, too. And then I said, well, boy, if my wife were here, she would just have a fit right now. But anyway, I ate one more item, and it was delicious, too. We've had a great time. I'm telling you, I love you folks and appreciate what your preacher means to me and all that the church here has done and what you are able to do and what you're doing for the Lord. And wow, it's awesome. And I just appreciate the opportunity to come in and celebrating your anniversary. Happy anniversary to you. Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. 14 years of having a church, that's fabulous. And doing the ministry of the Lord Jesus, that's wonderful. I had pastored Harvest Baptist Temple for 44 years. We had a lot of successes, a lot of wonderful blessings. And of course, we have a Christian school and daycare and a radio station. We actually have five radio stations all across the area. Two in Coshocton, one in Findlay, one in Clyde, and one on the internet, cleanair.fm. Cleanair.fm. If you ever want to listen to it, go ahead and tune into that. It's a blessing. You hear some gospel preaching. We're probably the only station that I know of, anyway, that only has the King James Bible preachers. We won't have anybody else. We won't use anyone else. If they use any other version, we won't use them in our station. We play a lot of good songs and gospel hymns and quartet music. And man, I just love the work of the Lord. It's been great. When I was coming to preach to you this morning, I wanted to know if you knew a song that says, "He Keeps Me Singing." Do you know that song? "There's within my heart a melody." Do you know it? Look at page 434 in your songbook. Let's see if you do know it. Let's see if everybody knows it. 434. This starts my message right here. 434. Now look at that, if you will, please, and tell me, everybody, do you know it? Okay, let me see. How many of you know it? Let me see your hand. Oh, quite a few. How many of you do not know it? And how many of you really don't care? In your Bible, please turn with me to Isaiah chapter 50, verse number 10. Isaiah 50, verse 10. You know that song, "He Keeps Me Singing"? Does it not lift your heart? When you sing that song, it lifts you. But did you know this song was written in the deepest of darkness? If you look at that page number 434 one more time, you'll see that the name Luther Bridges is on that paper. He wrote the words and he also wrote the music. Luther Bridges. But he wrote that song after his wife and three sons died in a house fire while he was preaching a revival meeting somewhere else. Luther Bridges was an evangelist. He was out of town preaching, doing God's work, doing God's bidding in another city. And his wife and three sons died in the house fire. Then he wrote the song. How tragic that while the man was preaching the gospel elsewhere, his family was dying in a house fire. We would say, God, that's not fair. Oh, that's tragic, preacher. You know, I think about this. It's wonderful to talk about light, and it's wonderful to talk about the light of God. Joy of living in God's presence, having warm fellowship like we're doing this morning with each one of us and the Savior. But what happens to us when the lights go out and we find ourselves surrounded by darkness? Now, this is a day of jubilation and happiness and anniversary and, wow, 14 strong years. But ladies and gentlemen, there are no doubt some folks in our building this morning who are walking in darkness. The lights have gone out. Maybe they've been told they have cancer. Maybe they've been told they're not going to live long. Maybe they have a financial reversal. Maybe, just perhaps, a child has gone awry. What do we do when the lights go out? Well, I think we ask ourselves a couple of questions. Does the darkness I'm facing mean that God is displeased with me? Or does God have something to teach me? Something I can only learn in the darkness? Well, let's look at this Isaiah 50, verse number 10. Now listen to the wording here. It's unbelievable. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? Oh, listen. That walketh in darkness and hath no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Father, would you help us this morning? Father, anoint me to preach the word of God as it should be preached. Please hide me behind the cross. And let the words of God go forward and touch the hearts and lives of many men, women, boys, and girls in this place. Stir us today, oh God. Let the power of God and the fires of the Lord touch our hearts together today. Bless our day in this time of preaching now. Bring somebody to an old-fashioned altar. Let them find salvation, healing, and strength and deliverance. In Jesus' sweet name, amen. Turn with me very quickly, please, to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse number 12. I want to tell you all something this morning. God is with us. God is for us, and God is with us. In fact, in Psalm 139, this is a powerful verse, verse number 12, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. You know what that's telling me? The darkness and the light are alike to God. And so the question for me, if I'm in darkness, and I have been there many, many times, if I'm in darkness, I need to ask myself, it's not what is happening or why is this happening, but what I must ask myself is, how am I going to respond in the dark? Now this morning, very quickly, I have five observations that I want to give you to help us when the lights go out. Roman numeral number one, if you're taking a note. Those of greatest devotion, those who are closer to God than most people, those who are full of the greatest devotion may know the deepest darkness. Believers who are the closest to God and know him more intimately have gone through some of the deepest darkness. Let's just think about some of those Bible saints, some of the greatest saints who went through such terrible, terrible darkness. And then recall back here in Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 10 what it does say. Who is among you that feareth the Lord? Now, whoever that is, they obey God and they obey the voice of God. And yet they walk in darkness and hath no light. So who are some of these saints? My mind got to thinking about some men in the Bible that I know of, for example. What about Job? Was Job, ladies and gentlemen, can you help me this morning? Was Job a godly man, yes or no? He was a very godly man. He was perfect and he was upright. And the Bible said to me and to you, he escheweth evil. Job was a good man. He walked with God. And yet, did he not face terrible, terrible darkness? Look at Job chapter 19, verse number 8, where it says, he hath fenced up my way. This is what Job said. He hath fenced up my way. I cannot pass. And he has set darkness in my path. Hey, Job, who was a very righteous man, a good man, a perfect man, upstanding, eschewed evil, he said, God has set darkness in my path. Then I thought about Jeremiah. Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 1 said this, oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. You see, Jeremiah had spoke to a disobedient people who beat him. What about John the Baptist in the New Testament? John the Baptist, it didn't make sense to John. Jesus could do miracles. He could actually raise the dead. And John said, but I'm in prison. What's going on? And so John said in Luke chapter 7, verse 19, John calling unto him his two disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, art thou he that should come? Or look we for another? See, darkness came. What about Paul? Did the Apostle Paul, the great man of God, did he face trouble and trial and dark days? Well, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9, he said, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength insomuch that we despaired even of life. So if today you're in some kind of darkness, and I don't know whether you are or not, but if you are, you're at least in pretty good company. There's been a lot of Bible characters who were in darkness too, facing terrible times. Darkness does not necessarily mean that you are in sin, that you have sinned. Our text mentions that. It doesn't mean actually, like some people say, well, you must be, if you're in that kind of a darkness, you must be out of the will of God. That doesn't mean that either. Preacher and I have talked about your situation and the property. And I want you to know we have made special requests over and over again at our church and on our radio station about your property and about your situation. And sometimes that can be a darkness as well. When will this ever cease? Listen, folks, God has ordained darkness for us to teach us something. Trust God. God knows it all. Come on, amen. God knows it all. He knows exactly how he's going to answer. And so, secondly, Roman numeral number 2, and I said, first of all, those of greatest devotion may know the deepest darkness. Roman numeral number 2, the faith that is born in the light often grows best in the darkness. Here's a question. When have you grown the most? When have you grown the most? Think about your life. Oh, when it was sunny and happy and when everything seemed to be going just great. Or was it at midnight when you wept out your eyes and cried in the darkness over a situation? When did you grow most? You know, we grow most and best in darkness. Because it is there in that darkness that we seek God as at no other time in our lives. Faith is like the old film that we used to develop. It develops in the darkness. And faith is just like that film. It develops in the dark. The real test of our faith is, how am I going to act? How am I going to act in the darkness? Anyone can sing praises in the light of a sunny day, or when money is flowing and my health is good and I have a decent house and a wonderful car and money's a-flowing and my kids are all saved, everything's good. But what happens when the darkness comes? Now, this became real to me, and I'm sorry if I weep a bit. But 5 years ago, something happened to me that changed me. Not my preaching, just changed me. I was playing basketball and golf and exercising every day, eating properly. And all of a sudden, I got a rash from my knees down to my ankles on both legs. We're getting ready to take our young basketball team, our varsity basketball girls and varsity basketball fellas to Pensacola for a big tournament, basketball tournament. We'd been invited to come. And I was all excited about that. But about 3 or 4 weeks before, I got this rash. And all of a sudden, it was so itchy and red and awful. So I called my doc and I said, "Doc, listen, I need something. I got to get this done with because I'm heading to Pensacola with the kids for a week. And I need to do something quick." "Well, I'll go down to the pharmacy," he said, "and get you this cream." And so it cost me $40. And I started putting it on. 3 days later, it looked like it was getting better. Everything looked good. I was feeling good, and I was still playing basketball. I was coaching basketball, shooting the ball, playing basketball. I love all that stuff. I was on the treadmill. My wife runs 4 or 5 miles every day, and she makes me run some too. I hate running, just in case anybody wants to know. But I get on the treadmill to please her and say, "Okay, I'll go 2 miles, okay." Anyway, I had that thing up to 7 miles an hour, that treadmill. I walked in the doctor's office. He said, "Lift up your pant leg, Pastor, and let me see your leg." I thought he was joking with me. So I did that, and he looked at my legs. He said, "Oh, I don't like that." And, of course, I was still in the joking mood. And I said, "Doc, you shouldn't tell your patients you don't like their legs. That's not even nice." He looked at me and said, "Pastor, I'm not joking. I'm sorry, but that's your heart." I said, "My heart? Doc, my heart's up here. That's my legs." He said, "Your blood is not circulating back up to your heart. You have a major, major problem." That was on Tuesday. Friday of that same week, I was rushed into the hospital, open heart surgery, triple bypass. The doctor said to me, "I don't know how you walked into this hospital today. You should be dead, sir." He's a Christian man. He said, "Except for the grace of that man right there." Phew. I said, "What?" And I started crying like I'm doing now. I'm sorry, but it's just so tender to me. So they cut my chest open, laid my heart out, and worked on it. 7 hours, triple bypass. I couldn't believe it. It's not what did that happen for, God, or why did it happen. But now how are you going to respond in the darkness? So the government officials say, the property's not going to ever be built on. May I tell you something that I told preacher? The hand of the heart of the king is in the hand of God. And he turneth it whithersoever he will. I don't have any idea why that happened to me. I thought I was fit. But all of a sudden, I'm suffering. I shouldn't even be alive, they say. What? I never have hurt my life. Dark days come for everybody. Everybody. There are three principles in Psalm 50, verse 10. Number one, I think it teaches us to look to the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, we live by promises, not by explanations. And then I think also verse 10 teaches us to obey the Lord. Keep praying, keep witnessing, keep serving, keep giving, keep praising, keep obeying the Lord, even in the dark. Don't stop anything you're doing when darkness comes. Keep up the same stuff. Lean on the Lord. Why, preacher? Because Psalm 23, verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. May I tell you what God did for me, even in the darkness of that heart situation? I never had a heart attack. The doctor caught it before. And I said to my wife, as soon as I got out of the hospital, in fact, I had that surgery on Friday. I went home on Monday. The doctor said, man, you're my rocket preacher. I said, what's that mean? He said, I've never seen anybody heal up so quick, Pastor. He said, goodness, what in the world? I said, well, did I really need the surgery? He said, oh, would you quit it? If you didn't need it, I wouldn't have done it. I went home on that Monday. And God began to bless and give me strength. And I have recouped from that. Because in the hour of darkness, it's not why or what. It's how you're going to respond. I will say this. It's better to be in a dark valley. And I don't like dark valleys. But it's better to be in a dark valley leaning on Jesus than to be in a sunlit mountain without Jesus. Amen. I don't like the valley, God. I don't like the darkness. But I'd rather be with you than on a sunlit mountain without you. Well, I've learned to love him more and more every single day. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know who you are, but God's talking to somebody. You let him do something for you this morning. Roman numeral 3. Some things are seen in the darkness that cannot be seen in the light. Look at, if you will, in Isaiah 45. Go back to Isaiah 45 and look at verse number 3. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness. Oh my goodness. Did you see that in the Word of God? You know what that means? That means there are some treasures in the darkness. God says, and I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden, glory, hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by name, am the God of Israel. You look at that old devil, I call him Smutty Face. Smutty Face, get out of my life. There is a God that loves me. And he can see in the darkness, whether I can see or not is not the issue. My God can see because the darkness and the light are the same to him. And he's got some treasures for me. You see, God has a storehouse of blessing for us to behold. But there are things, and there are times when the greatest treasures that he has are discovered in the darkness. Darkness is not always the work of the devil. It's also a work of God. And God's going to teach us some things in the darkness. I thought about stars. Don't you like to look at the stars? The stars that hang like chandeliers in the velvet canopy of space can only be seen where? In the darkness. Thank you. The stars. People say, well, the stars are out tonight. That's not so. The stars are always there. They're always, they don't come out. They're always there. Come on, amen. Amen. Stars don't come out. They're there all the time. But sometimes, listen to me, on the darkest of nights, the stars seem the brightest. Does God have you today in some darkness? Don't run away from the darkness. God has some treasures for us in the darkness. Oh, God, what are the treasures you have for me? God said, I got some treasures, and there's some secret things I can reveal to you while you're in the darkness. Just trust me. Can I encourage you? Just trust him. Lift him up. Praise his name. He's worthy to be praised. There's something there. Number four, it's better to lean on God in the darkness than to stand alone in man-made light. Now, I want to give you a little warning, and I want you to see the warning that's found in Isaiah chapter 50, verse number 11. Here's the warning. Don't try to generate your own light when you're in the darkness. This is a good point. Look what it says in verse 11. Behold, all you that kindle a fire, that can pass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and the sparks that ye have kindled, this shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. Now let's think about that for just a moment. Remember, according to Isaiah chapter 50, verse 3, it looks like to me in that verse that God ordains the darkness. I clothe the heaven with blackness and make sackcloth their covering. That's what God says. So, we have nothing to fear from the darkness if we are there by God's sovereign purpose and loving will. If there's a dark cloud that's over you or in your ministry or in your life, as long as God is there with you, you're fine. But you know, Abraham, a good man, a godly man, got tired of waiting on God. Remember that story in the Bible? Genesis chapter 16, verse 1 through 16 gives us the story. We'll not read it all, but listen, let me tell you that he got tired of waiting on God. Like some of us, I am just so tired. I pray about it and pray about it and pray about it, but preacher, nothing happens. Don't light your own fire. Don't light your own fire. Just wait on God. Well, because he got tired of waiting on God, he produced Ishmael. And we're still having problems today from that issue. What about Moses? Moses took things into his own hands, and he who was a deliverer became Moses the murderer. He killed an Egyptian. And he said that act of Moses set everything back, the work of God, 40 years. Because he tried to light his own light. Oh, he did come back to the light, didn't he? Remember? When did he come back to the light? When did Moses come back to the light? At the burning bush. Remember? At the burning bush. Don't try to light your own fire. Don't try to light your own light. What about Simon Peter? Go with me to Luke 22, verse 33. What did Peter actually say? Did Peter, listen, we just came through Easter, but did Peter love the Lord? He loved the Lord, preacher. He did. He loved the Lord. He loved him with everything he had. In fact, he said, I will go into prison and I will even go into death with you. Did he not? Yes, he did. But then the dark Gethsemane came and he didn't understand. And what did he do, everybody? What did he do in our cantatas and so on? He took the sword, took it out of the sheath, and said, no! And he chopped off the servant of the high priest's ear. What was he doing? He was trying to generate his own light. The Bible says, as you know, later he went out and wept bitterly that terrible night. Let's review just a second. We're coming to the last point, and I'll be finished. Those of greatest devotion may know the deepest darkness. The faith that is born in light often grows best where? In the darkness. Some things are seen in the darkness that cannot be seen in the light. And then it's better, number four, to lean on God in the darkness than to stand alone in man-made light. My last point is simply this. If your sun has set, be sure the morning will come. If your sun has set, be sure the morning will come. Your dark night will come to an end. There's a lady in my church when I was pastoring all those 44 years, I had so many encouragers and people who would pray for me. But there was one little lady who was from Florida. Originally, she came up to Ohio and lived for a while and was a great Christian lady, an elderly lady, and she loved me, and she would pray for me. And once in a while, Hazel Lacey was her name. She would come to me, and no one else knew the burden I was carrying. Like some, I'm sure, preacher carries some things that maybe some of you don't even know. But there was a very difficult situation that I was carrying, and she would come up to me and put her arm around me and say, son, pastor, this too will pass. I'd look to her and say, how'd you know? She said, God talks to me too. You talk about some sweet times. I said, Hazel, I'm not going to talk about it, but thank you for praying. She said, this too will pass. Ladies and gentlemen, your night of darkness will come to an end. God will turn every hurt to a hallelujah someday, and every tear to a little pearl. One day your Calvary will be an Easter. Wow, what a thought. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 50, verse number 4 now, please. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. If you have your Bibles, quickly, would you go with me to Psalm 112 as we wrap up this message? Verse number 4. Unto the upright, oh, I love this verse, there ariseth light, there it is, in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. What about Psalm 30 and verse number 5? Psalm 30, verse 5 says this, for his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night. Woo! Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
But joy cometh in the morning. Oh, we need to get to an old-fashioned altar this morning and say, God, I know the book. And I know what you said. I know you're going to be with me. God, help me to believe it today. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, the darkness will not swallow you up, folks. When you are there with the Lord, One day Jesus Christ will pull back the shades of night and he'll pin them with a star. He will open the door of the morning and flood your world with sunshine of his love. And that day will be all the more wonderful after the darkness that you've experienced. Remember, God sees the darkness and his eyes are upon you even in the darkness. Darkness and light are alike to him. They're alike. He sees right through it. I got to tell this story and I'll close. It's a story of a little girl who lost her mother. The little girl's about 3 years of age. And she lost her mother through death. The little girl was so upset because mama had died. It was such a difficult night, that first night. She was in her little bedroom and daddy was in his room. And as she was in her little bed, she couldn't go to sleep. She felt so alone and so hurt. She's only 3 years old. She got up out of her bed, went into daddy's room and tapped daddy on the shoulder and said, "Daddy, can I sleep with you tonight? It's so dark in my room." Daddy said, "Sure, hon. Just climb in bed with Dad. That's fine." The little girl climbed in bed, the story goes. And then she said to her daddy, "Daddy, is your face toward me?" "Yes, honey, I'm looking right at you." "Thank you, Daddy." In just a few moments, she fell off to sleep. That daddy who was struggling as well, in the darkness of losing his wife and understanding his little girl was suffering, began to weep. He quietly got out of bed and knelt beside his bed. He began to pray to God and said, "God, I know the darkness is for a learning lesson for me, but it's so dark. And I'm like my little daughter. Dear God, is your face toward me right now?" As he was kneeling beside his bed, praying and crying, he said, "You know, fellas, it was like God said, 'Yes, sir, I'm looking right at you. Be comforted.'" Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed for a moment. I don't know who in the world God's talking to, but God's talking to somebody. If you're here, you've never been saved, you're walking in darkness, you need to see the light. You need to come to God this morning. You're here and you're a saint of God, you're a Christian, you're a born-again child of God, you know God, but boy, there are some things going on in your life that you say, "Whew, I really do need God's help, preacher. I wonder, as I see some tears and I see some concern, if you would step to this altar this morning." We're going to stand together, please, if you will. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. But now we're standing, we've had the challenge. Now the time to do something about that challenge is before us. Who would it be that would step from their seat and just come? Let me have a word of prayer. And the pianist will begin to play softly. And I wonder if you would come and join us at this altar on this wonderful anniversary Sunday. Father, we love you today. Lord, I personally thank you for all that you've done for me, for my church back home, for my family. Lord, we've had so many dark days, and yet you've been so wonderful. Lord, you help our folks here today at Hunt Valley Baptist Church. They've had many wonderful days, glorious days, wonderful answers to prayers. And yet, Lord, we still are fighting some battles and in some darkness. Help us to learn. Help us to trust. Help us not to generate our own light. Help us not to act like we're not in darkness when we are. Help us just to come and admit it. I just need some help from God today. Lord, you bless that soul that's near death or near eternity. If they're in this building, bring them forward so they don't go to hell. God, help us today. We love you. Now bless this invitation. In Jesus' sweet name. Our heads are bowed.